You have to be your biggest fan. And when things are really tough and they're really rough and nothing's working, but there's something inside of you that says, I just have to follow that. Because you don't know who you're going to meet, who you're going to meet, who you're going to meet.
Welcome to Better Days with myself, Georgie Crawford, and my friend and performance psychologist, Jerry Hussey. I'm so excited for you to hear this episode today. It is next level. You know, each time I edit an episode of Better Days, I don't think it can get better. Episode 2, we got so much incredible feedback. If you haven't listened to it, make sure after you listen to this, you go back and have a listen. It is absolutely brilliant. Before we get into today's episode, I just wanted to thank the Health Insurance Authority for supporting Better Days this season. The start of the year is when a lot of people's policies renew, so it's a really good opportunity to review your health insurance plan, because without even realizing, you may be overpaying for health insurance, or you could be on a plan that no longer suits your health needs. The HIA is a government agency, completely independent. They're not selling insurance. Their role is to help you make an informed choice. You can use their free health insurance comparison tool to see what plans are out there and what might suit you better. I've checked it out myself. It's so easy to use and well worth a visit to HIA.ie. Okay, Jerry, how are you today?
I'm great, thank you. I'm nervous and excited, depending on what you're going to put my way at the moment.
Yeah, so this is really interesting. So Jerry doesn't have any idea what I'm going to throw at him on each episode. And that just shows just how incredible you are, Jerry, that you can just, I suppose, all the experience you've had with people over the years, that you're able to just channel the right answer.
It's a little bit of that and a little bit maybe of being unorganized, because sometimes, Georgie, you do send me the scenarios and I just don't read them. But I don't read them for two reasons. It's the same as I don't plan a presentation. I don't do slides. So I think if I can sit comfortably in this place of truth and I don't overthink it, if I overthink the answer, it's not going to come from a place of truth. So the longer I have to prepare is the worse I am. So I just prepare, I get ready, I really look forward to the conversations, but I make sure that I'm coming on here after a meditation or after a conversation. So when you ask me a question, I just go with my gut instinct. And I think deep down we all have that inner wisdom. I think we overthink things. We allow the brain to run riot. So in all of these episodes, you'll figure out that I just use a very simple form of questioning, because I do believe everybody's one question away from a major breakthrough. And I do believe everybody, if they were to drop into their heart and their deeper wisdom, knows the answer. So that's all I do. I can only give my honest opinion based on my life experience, based on my science. I don't overthink it. And you're just going to get me from my instinct and my intuition.
Do you think, like, when you go out to those corporate settings and you're speaking to people all the time, do you think people over prepare for things?
Yeah, I did. I did one last week. And for the first time ever, it was for a really good friend of mine's. I've taken over an amazing business and I really wanted to do a good job. And unlike me, I sat in the room for 2 hours and I completely overthought of it. And I made a mess of it. And I'm like, why did I do that? Because I focused on him too much. And I started asking myself, God, what if I let him down? Like, I didn't back myself where I usually back myself. Like, you've seen me, you know, on the just before we got in the concert hall, and we'd have 1,000 people there. And I'm out the back having a cup of tea. And yeah, sometimes even Miriam would say, Jerry, like, I have the open neck. What are you going to start with? I'm like, I don't know. I'll make it up. But I did, in this occasion, I focused too much on not letting him down and I didn't back myself. So I think we over-prepare. And the reason we over-prepare is we don't back ourselves.
Yeah.
we don't want to get caught out. But if you think you're going to get caught, it means there must be something to get caught out on. So it happens. It happens to me at times. But what I know is when I don't overthink it and I just turn up and I speak with from my heart, that one. And it doesn't mean you're always going to be right. It doesn't mean you're not going to make a mistake. But it means that people will be inspired by your honesty and your openness and your passion. So that's my advice to everybody. But it does happen. We all overplan, we overcomplicate things, and simplicity is the key to life.
Brilliant. Well, I think, I suppose that ties in a little bit to today's dilemma from a lady who said, last year has been incredibly difficult for me. I've been juggling college work, parenting. I've been in a deep state of burnout. In April, I went on an amazing trip with a close friend. Everything was good. A few months later, we went out for my birthday with two friends. I thought a night out might lift me, but it actually made me feel worse. I got so overwhelmed that I left without saying goodbye. The next day, I sent my friend a message explaining what had happened, but she couldn't understand where I was coming from. Things spiraled from there, and I ended up losing that friendship. More recently, I snapped at my mum. I apologized and she accepted it. But a few days later, I texted her explaining how overwhelmed I feel. She read it and didn't reply. The next day, I texted again to ask if I'd done something wrong. She read it and didn't answer. Now it feels I've lost her too. I've been under so much pressure. It feels like I'm losing people I count on. Colleagues I get along with, but no close friendships. All of this is triggering childhood feelings of being too much. I feel things deeply. I have big emotions, and sometimes I react from a place of overwhelm. I don't want to change who I am, but I can't help wondering if this is all my fault.
Okay, so go with my gut instinct here, and she may not like this answer, but it's all coming from a place of love and respect. So if you're fighting with your mum and your friends and you're fighting with your neighbour, and I've had this case recently where a business leader, you know, is fighting with her team, she's fighting with the investors, she's built a new house, she's fighting with her neighbour. The question here that Miriam regularly asks me when I'm fighting with everybody is, what's the common denominator? Now, so she says, I'm a person with big emotions, I'm overwhelmed, and that's who I am, and I don't want to change. Until you change, nothing will change.
Yeah.
Your mum's non-response is your mum's non-response. Your anger is your reaction to your mother's non-response. The first thing we have to do as human beings is regulate ourselves. So the message starts off by a massive year of stress and fear and burnout. Before she worries about her friends or her relationship with her mum, there's a nervous system that needs to be re-regulated. Burnout is a real thing. It's chemical, it's hormonal, it's everything. So she is in a state of fight, flight, freeze or fawn. The first thing she has to do is get her body and nervous system back into a state of balance. So what takes you out of balance? It's stress, it's work, it's life. But what takes you out of balance that people don't often think about, what sends you into a state of dysregulation is your subconscious programs.
Yeah.
Your inner stories. So the question I would sit with this person is, what is your inner story? What's the relationship you have with yourself? Because I bet right now, the war that's going on between her and everybody in her life is just a reflection of the war that's going on within herself.
Yeah.
The first thing we have to do is heal our relationship with ourselves. Then we explore our subconscious programs. Then we rebalance our nervous system. And when we do the work, the real work, we get to choose our response. So saying I'm a person of big emotion, the world is consumed with emotional expression. And I'm the first one. I wrote a book on the fact that there is no negative or positive emotion. I get angry and I go to the boxing gym regularly because I need to hit things. And little men and boys, and my little boy, men need to hit. We're built to hit. We're built to protect. And that's not toxic. That is just a man. So emotions are emotions. And every emotion, whether it's fear, shame, guilt, or anger, is a signal to something is in a state of harmony or disharmony. So fear, shame, guilt, and anger is a lovely symbol that something needs to be addressed. So firstly is, yes, emotional expression is the ability to express the emotion I'm holding. Emotional expression has nothing to do with acting out of the emotion. So how about emotional regulation? I think it was Gabor Maté said, the whole world is consumed with emotional expression. I'm angry, I'm bitter, I'm disappointed, I'm let down, I'm offended. Okay, but what are you going to do about it? How are you going to regulate it? So in life, you're either a thermometer or a thermostat. A thermometer explains what the temperature is and does nothing about it. Somebody says, I'm just an argumentative person. I'm just angry. I'm just negative. It's just the way I am. It's just the way I'm brought up. I am the way I am because of my past and I can't be changed. A thermostat takes the temperature as it is and changes it to what it wants to be. So as a human being, we have to honour the emotion we're holding, honour the trauma that's been in our life, honour that our past, honour all of that is us. But then if it's not serving us, we must dare to change it. So if she's saying, I'm big emotions, I get overwhelmed, sometimes I don't know how to respond, but I'm not willing to change. Well, that's the reality. That's what will keep happening in your life. So if nothing changes inside us, nothing will change outside of us.
Do you think it's interesting that the fact that this lady was brave enough to write in and say, how do I break this pattern? There has to have been a part of her that knew that you were going to say that she needed to change. So, you know, the way you say, like, deep down, we all know what the right thing to do is. We're just afraid sometimes to take the leap. Do you think she knows deep down that something in her needs to change?
Yeah, I think deep down, everybody knows the truth. But sometimes people do ask me, how do I deal with my mother? And I say, tell me about your mother. Well, I sent my mother this message. I told her, and then she never replied. So I'm like, so what do you mean? Why am I dealing with your mother? So when I went to Leslie Schumacher, the great therapist, and she's still operating, I used to chat about my past and my trauma and my relationship with my dad. And she stood up one day and she said, Jerry, can you stop just this conversation? And I'd been to another therapist. She said, how many times have you gone to a therapist? I said, oh, loads. And I used to go to a therapist with loving, comfortable, nice office, comfy seat. And she used to give me coffee and scones. I never had coffee. Coffee and scones. Sometimes I'd nearly be thinking of some more old stuff I could tell her to keep her there. And she'd say, poor you. Oh, yeah. That's hard, Jared. That's tough. Tell me more about the past. Oh, yeah. When I went to Leslie Schumacher and I started giving her the same old story, I'll never forget her. She looked me straight in the eye. And she got up and on a flip chart she wrote, she said, I believe that you, and she wrote Y-O-U, came here so that you can have a better future. And she wrote the word future. So she said, what we're dealing with is you and your future. But all you're talking about is your dad and your past. Now she said, if your dad wants to come to therapy, I'll see him happily. Otherwise, can we just talk about you and your future? She was the first person to really look me in the eye and say, you don't feel the way you are because of your past. You feel the way you are because of your attachment to, your anger towards, your resistance towards the past. It was then when I started working with Joe Dispenza, he said, you have to become more interested and committed to your incredible future than your miserable past. Now, that sounds very harsh, but like, and then Marianne Williamson comes into my life and she says the same thing. So if there's something in your life that keeps happening, if there's a situation, you keep falling in love with the wrong person, you keep ending up in a bad job, you keep ending up broke. If there's a habit or a pattern that keeps happening in your life, there's a good chance that that is linked to a subconscious belief, a subconscious program or a habit that you have. And the greatest habit we've developed is the habit of being ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about how do I deal with the world out there. Don't worry that for a moment. It's about understanding who am I? What are my subconscious programs? What are my limiting beliefs? What's the relationship I have with myself? What's my regulate my nervous system state? So when you start to regulate the nervous system, when you start to shift your biology, change your chemistry. I had a great meeting with a guy that I won't tell you who it was, but you know him and I know him, but he'll be okay. He'll know when he hears this. He doesn't mind me saying it. And he came to me once for coaching. His business was under pressure. He was having a few, you know, challenges with his life, his family. He was having fights. There was money was running out, investors. It was all in chaos. And he came to me in desperation. Can you help me, Jerry? I said, yeah, because you're a really nice guy. I'll help you, no problem. I said, and we'll start straight away. So I'm going to send you this link. You click that link at 5:30 in the morning and jump onto the session I'm doing. He said, 5:30? Yeah. In the morning? Yeah. But I don't get up till 7:00. I said, I know, but get up at 5:30. That's a bit early for me. Then I said, well, how about this and how about that? And I presented about 5 different things to him. He wouldn't do any of them. And he said to me in the end, I'm not sure, Jerry, like I have a really good routine going now and I don't want to change it. I said, you have a really good routine. Your life is in shit. So how have you a good routine? Now, he became a client of mine and he now looks back and says, Jesus Christ, I actually thought the problem was out there in the world. So there's a lot of people that says, I'm not into yoga. I'm not into meditation. That's not for me.
Yeah.
I'm not into exercise. I could never do a marathon. So you got to challenge those stories. You got to challenge that personality. So for us all, if we fall out with one person, there's a good chance it might be that person. If we've fallen out with 4 or 5 people, you got to look in the mirror. The common denominator is you. It's your nervous system, your subconscious programs. And if you want to attract new types of relationships and new people and new love, and you want to attract something into your life you've never had before, you have to become a person that you've never been before.
I love that. I was speaking to Anna Runkel, who is this incredible lady. She's the crappy childhood fairy, and she is doing loads of work on herself and stuff. And then she had a fight with her neighbor one day, and she went over to her neighbor's house and she was like shouting and screaming and just really let herself down. And then afterwards she went back to her house and she was feeling so terrible about it, and the guilt was just eating her up inside. And I said, well, like, how did you deal with the guilt? And she said, I had to physically move it out. She was like, so many of us, we store all of these things that happen and then nothing changes. She was like, I had to go down to the gym. I had to just scream and shout and let it out. And then she says, and when I did that, then I could go back and apologize.
And that's part of emotional regulation. You know, in my book, I talk that emotion is energy in motion. Emotions have nothing to do with the brain. The human brain cannot experience emotion. It never has. So emotions are chemical, physiological changes in the body. So the only way we can change or move an emotion is to move it physically. You can't talk an emotion out of the body. And particularly when it comes to trauma, trauma is held in the body, not the brain. And while talk therapy can be hugely beneficial, and I'm an advocate for it, talk therapy alone, you cannot remove trauma through talk therapy.
Yeah.
It has to be moved and danced and shaken and all of that. So a lot of people who meditate every day and practice yoga every day, which is incredible, but maybe they need vigorous exercise. And maybe people that do vigorous exercise every day. So the question is, in order to have what you've never had, you must be willing to do something you've never done.
Mm.
Then the question is, What is it you've never done? And what is the story in your head that's preventing you from doing that? And if you can listen to that story, that's the story that's holding you back in life. The story is either, that's not who I am, I'm not going to be good at that, and I don't want to look foolish. When you ask yourself, what is the thing I've never done? What is the story that's preventing me from doing that? That's the story that's keeping you back in life.
A short break to mention our sponsor, the Health Insurance Authority. If you're anything like me, you might be renewing your health insurance policy year after year without thinking about it. Well, it's time to take your plan and your health into your own hands. If you don't shop around, there's a good chance you're either paying more than you need to, or you could be missing out on benefits that could really support your health right now. The Health Insurance Authority offers a free tool. It makes health insurance comparisons covering every single plan on the market. Head over to the website hia.ie where you can explore your options or get support by phone or email. And as well, first of all, I think this lady is so brave for writing this in, because we have all gone through times in our life where we feel like we're surrounded by assholes. And sometimes, you know, if it's day five and Jamie's still pissing me off, I'm like, well, maybe I'm the problem, not him. He's just going about his day. And I'm, you know, feeling a certain way, certain anger, certain things building up. But that's usually because I haven't exercised, or I haven't said, you know, how I really feel out loud. And vice versa with Jamie. Sometimes he'll be ratty with me and snapping, and the anger is creeping up. And I'm like, when's the last time you went for a run? Because you need to go now. And then come back and talk to me. But in the nicest possible way, we have all been there. Yeah. But it's about recognizing it when you have that kind of dis-ease within yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just, it's the story we tell ourselves, like, I'm a person of big emotion. But become a person who handles emotion really well. Yeah. Or people say, oh, I'm an empath. Well, that's okay. But like, don't be weak empath. I'm an empath, and yet I dare to put myself on retreats with 50 people in a state of deep trauma. I put myself on stage in the concert hall. It doesn't prevent me. Or people say, you know, well, it's just the way I am. Like, I used to say, well, I'm just a very creative person. But I opened a business. And when you run a business, you have to understand accounts and numbers and VAT and tax. And I say, I just leave that to the accountant. No, that's weakness. Whatever your natural state is, I'm naturally more creative. But I've become very good at understanding numbers and detail. So the challenge is we tell ourselves a story, that's just the way I am, and we never move out of that. The question is, who might you become if you were willing to put in the work and the time, if you're willing to change your biology and your frequency, change the neurotransmitters in your brain, change the neurons that wire and fire together? And, you know, Dispenza has a statement where he talks about people who have all types of different illnesses. And the most amazing thing, and these incredible teams of researchers come in, and you can like them or dislike them, but he has now teams of independent researchers just watching what's happening. What's happening on a week-long retreat? And what he has discovered is somebody comes and they might have eczema, or, like, you know, it doesn't have to be a major illness. And if they're meditating to remove the illness, it doesn't work. So he says, I've learned that doesn't work. So I tell them, forget about the illness. Meditate on becoming a different person. And every single day, turn up as a different person. So he puts them into chanting and dancing and moving and stuff that you'd never do. And it makes you feel in a way you've never felt. It fires new neurons. When I spent 3 days with him, for half the time I thought, nothing's happening here. And the night I left him, I came home and said, was that worth it? Did anything really change? I woke up the next morning. I went down. I stood on the treadmill. And 5 minutes into my run, I knew my whole life has changed. This guy's changed my life forever. I was a different person. I was working on a different brainstead. I just came home and said, I'm going to write best-selling books. I'm going to do sell-out shows. I'm going to do magnificent retreats. And I just did them. So the process is consistently putting yourself in a state of discomfort, consistently leaning into that which you would normally run away from.
Yeah.
It is activating the nervous system to fire in a new way. It's firing new neurotransmitters, building new neurological pathways, changing your frequency. So you're not focused on solving the problem. Forget the problem. You're not focused on making the asshole go away. You focus on becoming the person who no longer worries about the asshole. So yeah. When you change, you wake up, the asshole is still there. They don't have any impact on you.
And this girl, you know, feeling things so deeply, having big emotions, like they can all be wonderful things if they're channeled correctly. You were there when we were with Marianne Williamson, and she spoke this really timid girl, like a really sensitive girl, put up her hand and she said, you know, I feel things so deeply, Marianne. And sometimes my friends get annoyed with me because, you know, I'm just too sensitive and I'm too this and I'm too that. And Marianne Williamson said, and she leaned in and I was like, what is she going to say? And she said, your energy's kind of leaky. And when she said that, I was like, I feel so seen, because I too can have leaky energy sometimes in terms of other people's emotions affect me. I have so much empathy for other people. I take on all of these things. And Marianne's answer was, well, do you meditate every day? And the girl said, I love to meditate. I meditate as much as I can. And she said, my question to you was, do you meditate every day? And the girl said, no. And she said, turn your attention to yourself, meditate every morning, and you will no longer have leaky energy. And I was like, whoa, like I felt like that's how you zip yourself up a little bit, isn't it?
Exactly. And we had a show recently with Marianne, as you know. How did I get her? I was months emailing her saying, Marianne, you're my idol. I'd love you to be on my show. Is there any way we could get you? It would mean the world to me. She never even responded, never even replied. And I saw her do that with that girl. I realized Marianne does not respond to weak, leaky people.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, stop the waffling and the bowing. She hates when people bow to her. She hates when people try to imply this. So I sent an email to her. I said, Marianne, Jerry here. We met at the show. We're putting on a show in Dublin. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be a night of power and inspiration. It's going to start with an Irish ballad that will make every hair, not on your body, but it will make your soul tingle. I'd love you to be there because I think you'll get something special from it. Imagine me sending Marianne Williamson a message saying, I think you need to come to my show.
Yeah.
Oh. She was back in a minute and she said, I'm there. It better be good. When we spoke to her on the phone to go through the details, she said, Jerry, you know all those emails that you were sending me? Yeah. She said, I've read your book. I wasn't buying the fake politeness and I wasn't buying the weak emails and I wasn't buying that fake humbleness. I wanted to see the strong air. I'm not flying to Ireland for a weak and leaky version of Jerry. Find your courage, find your strength, and I want to be in your company.
Yeah.
And the thing she said to me was, this world right now does not need Jerry lying in his shadow saying, oh, it's dark. This world right now needs you to step into your light and light the world up. So she said, if you promise me that you're going to light the world up, I'll be there. Never even asked about a fee.
Wow.
It is not just in some of us, it is in every one of us. She believes that every human being on this planet can do what she has done. She doesn't see herself as different or special or unique. And if you try to treat her like that, she'd quickly humble you.
Mm.
And she'll say, well, if I've wrote all these best-selling books, why don't you write them? If I'm commanding these fees for my talks, why aren't you? If I'm willing to run as president of America, what are you doing? And she's absolutely no ego. She has this incredible belief. Don't play to your darkness. Play to your light. Step into it. Let it shine and see what happens. And I just think that our darkness and our fear and our worry and our trauma can't be dismissed, and it can't be pretend it's not there. And I've wrote 3 books about self-compassion and about leaning into the dark side and understanding our shadow and being compassionate. But it can't be that so that we stay there. It's so that we understand it, and it gives us the courage and the freedom to then move out of it back into our light.
Yeah.
So the process of discovering your shadow, and I'm an empath and I have trauma in my life. Well, that's the start of the story. And that's how I became strong and courageous and independent. And that's what led me to change the world. Mm. It's not like that's why I stayed in the dark. And so we all have darkness. We all have challenge. We all have trauma. That's life. And it has to be acknowledged and nurtured. But it's not your story. It doesn't define you. And I just love that idea that nothing good comes from us learning to live in our darkness. Something amazing happens when, even with our darkness, we choose to step into our light. That's how we're going to save the world. And I think every single human being, every person I've ever met, has a gift. They have an incredible story. Most people I meet are more courageous than they know. They're more amazing than they dare believe. They're more lovable than they'd even imagine. Why do we doubt ourselves? Why do we question ourselves? We're magnificent. We're powerful. And isn't that a message? Even with your past, even with your trauma, even with your fears, even with your worries, you have a power to do something and be something. And if we could just step into that power for 30 seconds and see how that feels, and see how exciting that feels, suddenly the past doesn't seem that attractive anymore. And we have less and less of a need to go back, because now the new excitement of the future is just, it's what our systems are yearning. It's what our soul is yearning. So tell your story, and tell the story of your past until it serves its purpose. And then let it go. Then tell a new story. Tell me a story about your future.
And then when you turn your attention to yourself, the world around you changes, right? Because you're working on your self-worth.
Yeah. When we change how we look at things, the things we look at change.
Yeah.
It's like meditation doesn't make the assholes go away. But meditation makes you look at them in a totally different way. Being fit, healthy and strong doesn't make Everest any smaller, but it gives you the courage and ability to do it.
Yeah.
Life is not getting easier. Your challenges are not going away. Your opponents are not going to roll over and let you win. So you can't make the world easier, but we can become stronger and courageous, and we can step into our light. That is, you know, Marianne's poem, our greatest, deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. And most people say, what light? What light? Well, that's the question. What light? Find it. It's there. Because it's there in everyone. There's a great expression that says, sometimes we don't know how strong we are until strong is the only option. So don't wait for a crisis. Don't wait for a diagnosis to become strong. Find it now. Don't find it because you had to. Find it because you want to. Don't find it from a place of fear, lack, limitation. Find it from a place of abundance. So that courage and that strength is there within every single one of us. The question is, are we willing to find it? How hard are we willing to dig to ignite it? And then are we willing to turn up and say to people, I am magnificent. I am courageous. I'm going to change the world. That's the question. It's the belief. You have the capability. The question is, do you believe? I think that's the biggest message. So this girl, whoever she is right now, it's either serving her and giving her an incredible life of love and joy and ease, or it's not. And if it's not, then that's okay. It's okay. The question is, get to work on changing.
That's so powerful, Jerry. Thank you so, so much for that. Thank you so much to this incredible listener who sent this in. I will be checking in with her and we wish her all the best going forward. But I really sense a lot of power and determination in her letter, and I think she's going to turn things around. So sending her the best of luck, and we'll catch you next time on Better Days.
Thank you.
A huge thank you for tuning in today. Please make sure to share this podcast in your WhatsApp groups. We'd really appreciate it. Huge thank you to that lady for writing in. You know, we've all been there, and I think it's really brave to step up and send something like this in when you kind of know what answer you might be getting. And, you know, I think it was a pep talk we all needed and we all need from time to time. So huge thank you to Jerry, and we'll see you on Thursday. Every Monday and Thursday in January, you'll be getting a new episode of Better Days. So we hope you enjoy it.
Have to be your biggest fan. And when things are really tough and they're really rough and nothing's working, but there's something inside of you that says, I just have to follow that, because you don't know who you